You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
The kingdom of God is as multifaceted and mysterious as our Creator. A kingdom we only see now through a glass, darkly. Though we can't picture it fully, God's kingdom is the story told in Scripture, from the garden to the city. And in the middle of the story, God chose to reveal His kingdom in a new way. The gospel is not only Jesus coming and dying to save us from our sins, it's also the story of God establishing His dwelling, dominion, and dynasty in the world. We live as both citizens and strangers, prisoners of hope in this shadow kingdom, all while knowing it's not our true home, that something better is coming. That God's perfect kingdom is coming.
Hey, my name is Neil Batman. I'm the student minister here at the Fort Worth campus. I do get the opportunity every now and then to be able to go and teach over across the breezeway with the kids. So it's a really good time over there. Normally, whenever I introduce myself to them, I'll always say, my name is Neil Batman. And yes, my name really is Batman. And I say, I can prove it to you because I'm wearing my Batman socks right now. And you would be so surprised at how well that goes over. They're like, I believe it. And I'll just like pull up my pant leg a little bit, show them my Batman socks, and they're like, it really is Batman. And so just fully convinced. And that worked so well for so long. And then finally, I had this one kid. I actually think it was Sophia Giraro. Are there Giraros in here? I think it was Sophia. She was like, that doesn't prove anything. I am really Batman, though. That is my last name. So I am so glad to be here. So glad to be teaching you today. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 today, continuing our study through the Sermon on the Mount. Kids, where are the kids at? Can you raise your hand real quick if you're a kid in here? Some of the adults are raising their hands. Not really. That's not true. But yeah, so good to see you guys in here. So what we've been doing, kids, is we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a teaching that Jesus taught to his disciples. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is God's son, but even more than that, he is God. And so what we hear in the scriptures and what we will hear in this is one of the longer teachings of Jesus that he taught to his disciples. Now, adults in here, as we've been going through this, what you'll see as we kind of dive into this, is you'll see a lot more of just the themes and the ideas that have been present throughout our previous two sermons in the Sermon on the Mount and then also in this text as well. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus comes to, I mean, it really is in a lot of ways the middle of his sermon, and he's going to kind of bring about a new level of outward righteousness that doesn't truly represent a changed heart. So our main point for today, kids, is this, and it's a little wordy. I could have pared it down a little bit, but it's this, and it should be on the screen as well. Jesus is not just concerned with outward actions only, but with a heart that is fully committed to him. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Jesus is not concerned with outward actions only, but with a heart that is fully committed to him. And we're going to see that in the text today, specifically in that very first verse. The very first verse of Matthew chapter 6 says this. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray real quick as we prepare to look through this text. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us, that we might know you. Lord, I pray for all of the adults in here, for the kids and for myself. I ask, Father, that we would not be those who live out hollow righteousness, but Father, that we would be those who live out wholehearted obedience to you, to your scriptures, out of love for you and out of love for one another. I pray, Father, that you would take our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh, that you would cause us to have new, healthy hearts that love you. Be with us this day as we read your word. Be with me as well, Father. May this be for your glory, not mine. May my words honor and glorify you and not myself. May you be lifted up. May your will be done and may your kingdom come. In Christ we pray, amen. All right, so in that first verse, we kind of get the idea that Jesus is talking about in this text. That first word he says is beware. That's kind of a spooky word, isn't it, kids? Like normally you really only see this word at all around Halloween. It's beware. It's kind of spooky, like you could see this on like a haunted house or something. Beware. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's telling us a word of warning. What that word beware means is it means kind of almost be afraid, but really be alert. Pay attention, beware, be warned. And so he's given us this word, this spooky word, and that's meant to key us in that there's a warning here. And the warning is, he talks about practicing righteousness and receiving a reward. That's kind of language he's gonna talk about throughout this, practicing righteousness and receiving a reward. And what he's saying is that if you practice your righteousness, that just means to do good deeds. If you do good deeds, only to be seen by others, you will not receive a reward from God. Now, let me just put it this way for you. What Jesus is saying here is that it's possible for you to obey all that the Bible tells us and still not be getting it right. Do you get that? That's kind of a big deal. How many of you would say that your parents talk a lot about obedience? They should. That's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. And you should obey your parents. That's a good thing also. But what Jesus is saying here is that it's possible for you to obey everything that the Bible says and still not be getting it right. Now, we would also say it's not really possible for you to obey everything the Bible says. We are all sinners. We will all sin. But he's saying here it's possible that you could do everything that this passage says and still be in sin. Now, here's what we have to understand about this. The important thing that Jesus is pointing to is he's pointing to the heart. He says the most important thing here is that you would have a heart that is fully committed to him and that your outward actions, what you do, the good things that you do would mirror what's in your heart, right? So, let's walk through this passage real quick. What we're gonna see here is that Jesus gives us three examples, and these three examples are meant to show us how this plays out, all right? So the first example that he gives is about giving to the needy. That's in verses 2-4. Now in this situation, what's going on is you have a guy who is giving to the needy. For your situation, you could just consider this as sharing with someone who doesn't have as much as you have. How many of you kids would say that your parents talk a lot about sharing? They should. Sharing's a good thing, right? But when I was a kid, it was always share, share, share with your brother, share with your friends. It was like, okay, can I have one toy that's mine? Just please. But it's a good thing to share. It's a really good thing. And so what Jesus is saying is that these people are sharing people. They're giving to people who don't have what they have. Now notice what happens here. It says that when they're giving, they're doing it. This is what verse 4 says. It says they're doing it in order to be seen by others. It says that they're giving, and when they're giving, they're going around and they're saying, look at me. I'm a sharing person. I'm a good person. Look at me sharing with others. And he says that they're doing it to be seen by others. Now, you'll notice a consistent pattern with all three of the examples that he gives here. He's gonna say, don't be like the hypocrites. Can you kids say hypocrites? Not hippopotamus, hypocrites. Different things. A hypocrite is a person who looks good on the outside, but on the inside, they have a sick heart, okay? They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they have a sick heart. So what Jesus says is, don't be like the hypocrites who do this. And what do the hypocrites do? They go around and they say, look at me. I'm a good person. I'm a giving person. Look at me sharing with my friends. And they're doing it all only to receive attention, only to be seen by others. And then kind of the last part of the pattern that you're going to see here is that Jesus says that they will not receive the reward from the Father. But then he says, but give like this. And then he's going to say at the very end, for your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That seeing in secret means that we know that God sees everything, right? He's all-knowing, and he even sees our hearts. He sees the most secret place of us, which is our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. And that kind of leads us to an important point of this whole text. What you're gonna see here is you're gonna see people doing good things. They're doing good things. They're being obedient to the Bible. They're obeying their parents. They're doing what we would think would be what they should do. And yet inwardly, in their hearts, they have a sick heart. So some of the language that we use a lot, it'll be on the screen here, is that we talk about having a sick heart and a healthy heart, okay? Now, a sick heart in this situation is someone who lives their lives for themselves. So if I have a sick heart, it's all about me. When I do good things, I do it so you would recognize me, so you would know me. That's what having a sick heart is. Now, the Bible tells us that the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, were born in God's perfect place. They were born in the Garden of Eden. And they were given one commandment by God, do not eat from this one tree. And yet they sinned against God. They rebelled against him. And because of that, all of us are born with sick hearts. Who has a sick heart? All of us. That's right. So each and every one of us, when you were born with a sick heart. You were not born with a heart that loves and trusts Jesus. You were born with a heart that wants to make much of yourself. You're born with a heart like mine that says, I want to make a big deal about me. And yet, the gospel tells us that in order to be made right with God, we need healthy hearts. And that's what the gospel is for. The gospel says that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, that those of us with sick hearts can be given the same healthy heart that he has. And we'll get to that more in just a second. So the first example we saw is that there are those who are giving, but they're giving in order to be made much of, in order to be spoken well of. I'm a good person. Well, in the second example, we're going to see the very same thing. We're going to see that there are these people who pray a lot, and they're doing it to be seen as a good person. So notice, first of all, how many of you would say that your parents tell you to pray? That's good. Yeah, good. That's a good thing, right? Your parents should be teaching you to pray, and that's a good thing. The Bible tells us that we're to pray. We're to seek the Lord, and yet what we see here is that they're doing what they should be doing it, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. They're doing it because they have a sick heart that wants to make much of themselves. So if you'll notice, it's the same pattern. There's these hypocrites. Say hypocrites. Very good. And what's a hypocrite? Someone who looks good on the outside, but inwardly they have a sick heart. They're doing the right things, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. So these hypocrites, they're jumping out in the streets and in the middle of the church, and they're praying out loud, and they're saying all of these things about themselves. Jesus says, don't be like that. Instead, pray in secret. And then he's going to outline a way that we should pray. Now, for the adults in here, what's so good about that passage right there, the Lord's Prayer, is that the Lord's Prayer gives us the way in which we should seek the Lord. It gives us the way in which we should, the way in which our hearts should be. And notice at the very end of that passage on the Lord's Prayer, verses 14 and 15, says, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven by God. Now, this is key. What's happening here is Jesus is showing, much like in chapter 5, where it says, if you're bringing your offering before the Lord and realize that you have something against your brother, to leave your offering and go and be reconciled, this is showing the same exact thing. Notice that that's kind of a consistent pattern throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus would say that your religious activity, what you're doing, if it is does not work itself out into a right relationship with others, it is the epitome of unrighteousness. So if you're here and you're an adult and you've been following along with this, notice that that's a consistent theme. This is what Jesus is doing. He's continually bringing this up and bringing this before our eyes that we would know that we are to be wholehearted individuals. So if you notice kind of like the way this works for kids, we talk about it being a sick heart and a healthy heart. Our tendency as an adult, as adults, is to have hollow righteousness. That's kind of the language of the text here. Our tendency is to try and be good people and do good things, like attending church, saying our prayers, giving things away, and all of this shows that we too have sick, sinful hearts, and it's evidencing itself in hollow righteousness. But Christ calls us to have healthy hearts. For our context as adults, it would be for us to be wholehearted individuals. So if you look at the end of chapter 5, it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And notice that that language there, perfect, means whole. And that wholeness is that we would live our lives in wholehearted love for God and for neighbor. So this isn't just a message only to kids about, you know, not just trying to be a good person in order to get to heaven, but it's actually a message for all of us, that all of us are called in the same way to live out lives like this. So if you thought you were gonna get off the hook today because this is a sermon on a kid's level, then Jesus has a lot to say to us as well. So pay attention, this is for you as well. So let's look at the next example. The next example, kids, is about fasting. Hey, kids, who knows what fasting is? Hey, that's very good. Very, very good. Yes, fasting is when you give up something to honor God. It is not running very fast, although I am confident that so many of you kids are so fast, probably faster than your parents in a lot of cases, right? So it's not just running so fast, it is giving up something in order to honor God. Now, if I could just put this on your level, like if you're a kid in here, you ever notice how sometimes like your parents ask you to do something and you're preoccupied with something else? Like you're doing something else and it kind of keeps you from being immediately obedient. This was my big problem when I was a kid. When I was your age, mom would ask me to do something and I would like continue watching TV while she told me to do something and she was not happy, right? So fasting in some way could be that you stop doing that thing in order to be more obedient at the right time. So if it's a toy or if it's a TV or something like that. Now for parents, a lot of times this means that they stop eating. And I know that sounds crazy. They do it sometimes. And it's good for us because it helps us to focus on God. For you guys, it could be just kind of putting away other things in order to be focused and to be more obedient. Now, here's the thing. What Jesus is saying is that these people are fasting in order to be seen by others. So in the same way that the other people were giving in order to be seen, these hypocrites, what are hypocrites again? they do bad things. But what you got it right here? All right, very good. Very, very good. Good job. That's exactly right. A hypocrite is someone who looks good on the outside, but on the inside, they have a sinful heart. Very, very good. So these hypocrites are fasting so that they can be seen by others. Why? Because that's their sinful heart, right? They want to be seen. They don't want to give glory to God, which is what we're all called to do. They want to make much of themselves. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is saying that we can look so good on the outside, but he's not just concerned with outward action, but with a heart that's fully committed to him. Now, in my own life, this was my testimony. This was the way I was. When I was your age, I was a good kid. And everyone would look around and say, man, that Neil, that little Batman over there, that's a good kid right there. And they would all point and just say, he's a good kid, he's a good kid, he's a good kid. And yet, inside I had a sick heart. I had a sinful heart. And what I found was that I was doing all of those things in order to be seen by others. Now here's the thing. I heard a sermon about a similar passage that Jesus tells in the book of Luke, where Jesus tells this story about a Pharisee. He tells a parable, not a Pharisee. He tells a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Now, a tax collector, that would have been the same thing as these hypocrites right here. So Pharisee, tax collector, or Pharisee, hypocrite, kind of the same thing. These people were religious. They did all the religious things like go to church, give money, pray a lot, all that stuff. But inside, they had sick hearts. So Jesus tells a story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And the Pharisee stands up in church, just like Jesus told them not to do here. He stands up in church and he prays out loud. And he says, hey, look at me. I'm a good person. God, thank you for making me this way. I'm better than everyone else around me. I do all of these things. I give my money and I pray multiple times a week and I fast a lot of times. What does that sound like? Kind of sounds like these hypocrites. And so they're doing that, and he's praying that way in front of people. And then Jesus points to the tax collector, and the tax collector was this other person. The tax collector was really not someone who was good on the outside. They were bad on the outside and bad on the inside. And yet this tax collector was praying before God, saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Wasn't trying to make a big ordeal, was only seeking the Lord, was only crying and praying to the Lord to ask him for forgiveness. And what Jesus showed from that story is the very same thing he's showing in this story. And it broke my heart. It caused me to see that I was the Pharisee. I was the person doing all of the good things on the outside, and yet inside I had a sinful heart. And I realized that what I needed was I needed a new heart. I needed a new heart that truly loves and trusts Jesus. And that's what this is about here. This passage is showing us that we need new hearts. Now, the Bible's gonna show us, Jesus is gonna show us how we can know whether or not we need new hearts. Because if you're sitting here and you're like, maybe that's me, but I'm not really sure. Let's see what Jesus has to say in the last few verses, verses 19 through 24. I'm going to read it for us. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Kids, for our purposes, a treasure could be what is most valuable to you. If you have something that's the most important thing in the whole world to you, that's your treasure. And the reason that Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart is because your heart loves what is most important to you. So what Jesus is asking with this parable is he's asking, what is most important to you, or what is your treasure? Now he's going to tell us another story, and it's going to be this one in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now this one's a little bit more hard to understand because it's like this eye, lamp, light, darkness, inner light, inner darkness, outer darkness. Big light, big darkness. Anyway, just really confusing, right? But if we just kind of consider it in like, what are our eyes for? See things, right? And so if I want something, what do I need to do? I need to look for it, right? Not here. I don't know why I was touching my ear. If I'm wanting something, I need to look for it. And so what our eyes show is it shows what we want, what we desire. And so what Jesus is saying here is that our eyes reflect what's in our heart. Our eyes show, our eye light shows our inner light, if you will. So what Jesus is saying here is what you desire, what you want, what you pursue with your life shows what's truly in your heart. If your eye is bad, then how big is the darkness in your inner darkness? That was a hard sentence for me. So what Jesus is saying is he's asking two questions. The first question is, what is most important to you? Kids, if you were to ask yourself, what is most important to you? And then the second question is, what do you most want? Maybe it's a toy, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's something else, right? So what is most important to you and what do you most want. And then he's going to give this final story, this final parable. And it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying that you cannot have what you most desire, most want, and God. Now, unless it is God, which is how you know whether or not you have a healthy heart. If whenever I ask you the question, what do you most want and what is most important to you? If you said God, then that's showing that you have a healthy heart. But if it was other things, that's showing that you have a sinful heart, just like many, all of us do. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's saying, you cannot have what your sinful heart wants and God. And so what he's doing is he's showing you that you need to know where your heart is. And in knowing where your heart is, you know what you need. And so in this situation, what we see is that we know that all of us need healthy hearts. And what the Bible tells us is that the only way to get a healthy heart is from Jesus. So what the Bible would call us to is the Bible would call us to ask. So notice I said earlier that Jesus came and he died on the cross. And in dying on the cross, he made a way for us to be given new hearts. And so if you're here and you realize that you have a sinful heart, then I would ask you to ask your parents, to just ask them what it means for you to be given a new and a healthy heart. Now, to the adults in here, I told you earlier that this is not just for the kids. This is for all of us. And it was most definitely a passage for me this week. As I just struggled through this idea here that we can be doing all of the right good deeds, all of the right religious activities, and actually be far from the heart of Jesus Christ. It was a real challenge to me because as I prepared to preach this sermon, I realized that a lot of my inward motivations were to be made much of rather than to bring glory to God. And so what I realized in so many ways is that I am the hypocrite that Jesus talks about here. And I think if we're all honest to ask ourselves the questions that Jesus asks here, I think we would all realize that our desires, what's most important to many of us, is myself. And what we want most in all of the world is often to be made much of. And that's the challenging thing about this text is that this text doesn't allow us to be able to sit and just say, well, this is just a message for kids or this is just a message for other people because we're so quick to say, hey, we're not the hypocrites, right? We're not Pharisees, right? You're not a Pharisee. And yet, if we're really honest with ourselves and we really ask ourselves these questions, then we start to realize that our motivations are a tricky, tricky, just difficult black hole of trouble for us. Because our motivations creep in out of the inner crevices, those crevices of our dark, dark hearts and cloud out just about everything that we would want to do. And it is so challenging to hear Jesus say here that you could be doing all of the right things and be receiving all of the reward that you will ever get from those things here in this life and spend an eternity in hell apart from him. And that's what the most difficult passage probably in most of the scripture in chapter 7 says, where Jesus says to that man, depart from me for I never knew you. That man has a pretty impressive list of good deeds, prophesying and casting out demons. And all this shows is how incredibly easy it is for us to be deceived by our wicked, sinful heart. Our inner motivations, what we most desire, what we most want, can easily be the thing that shows where our hearts truly are. And they can lead us astray. And often we can think that we have wholehearted hearts when really, if we're honest with ourselves, we have wicked, sinful hearts. So brothers and sisters, I would just challenge you in here today to start asking the question of where is my heart in these things? And notice, kids, and adults, Jesus doesn't say, don't do these things. He tells you to do them. He tells you to be obedient. That's like probably one of the most difficult things about this passage is Jesus says, do your good deeds in secret, right? That's what he's saying here. But in chapter 5, he says, let your light shine so that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Which one is it? Well, it's not so much whether you necessarily do them in secret or do them in public, but that the reason that you do them to glorify God. That's what's so crazy about this passage is it understands that people are going to see you do good things. Obviously, I'm here preaching, and whether my motivations are bad or whether my motivations are good, I have to beg the Lord that he would take my humble effort and use it for his glory. And yet, even in that, I have to struggle with my inner motivations. And I think what's so helpful about this passage is that Jesus gives us a surefire way of knowing that our motivations and our attitude is set on him. And that's the Lord's Prayer. Because you cannot truly and rightly pray a prayer like the Lord's Prayer and seek to build your own kingdom. Because that's the exact thing that it says won't happen. May your kingdom come. And you can't pray the Lord's Prayer seeking your own will to be done, because that's exactly what the Lord's Prayer does, is it says, may your will be done. So what the Lord's Prayer is doing is it's showing us a way of orienting our hearts around what God would have for us and orienting our lives around his will and his will alone. And that's the way that we should live our lives, not coming with our loud, impressive things that we do for God, but humbly submitting to him and saying, Lord, if you should not, or if you should keep from leading me into temptation, that's the only way that I could possibly avoid evil. I'm fully dependent upon you. I'm fully in need of your mercy and grace in my life. So brothers and sisters, I challenge you to look into your heart, to ask yourself these questions and to see where your motivations are. And if you should find that in you is hollow righteousness, is a sinful heart, then what I told the kids is the same thing that I would tell you, is that you would ask Christ for a good heart, that you would ask him to take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and that in so doing, Christ can save you. I would just encourage you with that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it divides, it separates to the division of joint and marrow and shows, Father, where we can have good actions and wrong motivations, where we can look good on the outside and yet on the inside be dead men's bones. And so, Father, I just beg, that that would not be so of us, that we would not be a people who live to be made much of, but we would be a people who live to make much of you. Forgive us, Father, where we have sinned in this way, and create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. In Christ we pray, amen.